Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable podcast. Today we have a club update focusing on Tottenham, and it's very much a Freaky Friday situation, although I have done this before. I am joined with the ordinary host, Kevin De Vries, who you can get on Twitter at Kevrov, obviously a Tottenham fan. So it is good to get his perspective, although we slightly changed roles, so I'm sure we'll get used to that. But Kev, welcome today.
Thank
onto
you
your
very
own
much.
Podcast.
Nailed it. I like to think of it as our podcast. But yeah, figured I should come on and talk a little bit about Bale on the full shows. You know, every once in a while I talk way too much about Tottenham. But yeah, figured it was probably time to actually dive into everything that's been happening.
Yeah, I think it is a good time. Obviously a disappointing first result last weekend, but there's been a bit of optimism injected into the club over the last 7 days, a Europa League victory, which the result is all that matters, and obviously the big news. We'll move on to Reguilon later, but I think we should start with Bale. He's coming back to the club that he left several years ago now. I think it's seven years ago, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Seven.
Yeah, he's coming back, and he's coming back on loan. And just before recording, we did hear that there should be an option to buy in the deal. So what are just your general thoughts on Bale coming back, and you're surprised that Levy has gone for it?
Yeah, so we were just talking a little bit before we hit record that the information is coming out of the club at a much higher rate than it ever did under the Pochettino era, kind of like the Harry Redknapp period, where just basically everybody knew what was going on. So maybe in late July, early August, we started to hear whispers that Levy was trying to pull off this Bale deal. It was largely met with doubt and confusion. And then it just feels like something changed around the international break. Like, he got away from Spain. Madrid got to watch him not be there. And I think, obviously speculation, but I think that really is what switched things, where Bale was like, I will do anything to be able to leave and play, because obviously he only played limited minutes in that first match for Wales. And I think it really brought into focus that, like, next year is the Euros. It should have been this year, obviously, but because of COVID, it's next year. And he's like, I have to play if I'm going to be able to really help my country next season. Madrid, who the entire time have said that Bale can go, but whoever loans or buys him has to pay 100% of his wages. He's on 600K a week. That was never going to happen for us. But something switched there. And all of a sudden, it was they're willing to try to find some arrangement. And like I said, Levy has apparently been sniffing around since late July, early August. So all of a sudden, all of those pieces started to line up on a potential deal. Obviously, there are risks, as people have pointed out. He's 31. He isn't the speed, power combined player that he used to be, where he could just dominate a defense, because the smaller defenders can't outmuscle him and the stronger defenders can't keep up with him. But he still has plenty to offer, in my opinion, obviously a little bit biased. But as I was talking to Gitto about on Twitter, we don't need Gareth Bale to be our best player. That was the case in 2012, 2013. He had to be. We didn't have much else. We had a fading Adebayor and then not much else. I think Defoe still had a pretty good start to that season, if memory serves, but it was not this team. It was Gylfi Sigurdsson as the attacking midfielder. I think Lewis Holtby even may have been there during that brief period. Kane was still in the youth team. Like, it wasn't the team that it is now. Now all he has to do is either draw attention on the right from the defense to open up space for Son or Kane, or defenses are going to shy away from him and leave him in space, and he can obviously shoot from range. So yeah, that's all the like practical aspects. The emotional one is just incredible. I'm sure everybody has seen the reaction of the fan base, despite perhaps concerns from outside of the fan base that Tottenham are making a really dumb decision, never get back with your ex and all that. But I think everybody's just so delighted. But most Spurs fans probably have a bail kit somewhere that they're going to be able to whip out and will do so with glee. And yes, he's not the player that we saw leave. He probably isn't the Galactico signing that sometimes a player that you sign from Real Madrid could be. But I do like to think of it emotionally like the Van der Vaart deal, even though he was way younger, of just this is a player that lost his minutes at Madrid. Obviously, him and Zidane had a bit of a falling out the same way Van der Vaart did with his manager back in the day. And he's just looking for a chance to prove himself. I mean, he scored more goals for Wales last year than he did for Real Madrid. Obviously not great, played just over 1,000 minutes for Madrid, but he just needed to not be there, is my opinion. And so the ceiling is he comes back, he finds his love of football again, he stays fit, and maybe he wins us 5 to 10 matches that we wouldn't have won otherwise. If he does that, then we're probably solidly in the top four, let alone a top four race. If he isn't fit, if he struggles, if the physicals just don't live up to even his good Madrid days, let alone his kind of final couple seasons at Tottenham, then you're in a bit of a weirder spot, because then is that version of Gareth Bale better than developing Bergwijn, or is he better than the good matches of Lucas, which are obviously far and few between? Then you get into that kind of headache. But I think that the main thing on the pitch that Bale will provide is a elite level follower. We talked about this back when he was at Tottenham previously, that he's not a leader, but he is a high level follower, where if you see somebody of his stature, of his wages, which I'm sure we'll get onto for a second, it just makes other people more willing to follow. And I don't know what the other point I was going to make was on that. Oh, set pieces. We have been so desperate for a good set piece taker, even including before Eriksen left, after he kind of dipped that last six-ish month. And it had been years since he had scored a free kick goal before. I think he did so against Norwich last season. I don't recall exactly who it was against, but we've been really, really poor from set pieces ever since Eriksen's decline began. And so to have Gareth Bale just to do that, we just saw Eric Dier hammer two free kicks from like 30 yards into the wall against the third or fourth best team in Bulgaria yesterday. Bale is inarguably a step up from that. Just the amount of chances that we'll get from corners, from free kicks, I think will be a huge step up for us. So just to wrap all of this up, I love it. Love that Bale's coming back for all of the emotions, all of the hype. Yes, I understand that he is not the same player that left us or the same player he was at Madrid. Yes, he's old and expensive. Yes, he will improve us despite all of that.
Yeah, there are obviously caveats, but then there normally are with most transfers anyway. But yeah, he is 31, but he hasn't played as many minutes as others have at his age. You could say that could be a positive. Coming back, he's got something to prove. Maybe he does have more minutes left on the clock than maybe a normal 31-year-old Real Madrid player would have. And I think something that is quite understated that I haven't seen written about much, but I think it's quite important with Bale, is that he comes with a winning mentality. Like, this is a player that scored goals in Champions League finals, and Tottenham have had this problem for the last few years of not going on to win competitions, seem to be missing that winning mentality that top teams have. And a lot of the players you have haven't had that history of winning big trophies, but Bale has that, and he's been at Tottenham before as well, so he can sort of, he's got that extra wisdom to impart. The only slight concern I would have is he going to be able to come in and play a secondary role to Kane, or will he want to be the main man again? Does he come back with a point to prove? And do you think that there would be any sort of issues between him and Kane? Because that seems to be something that some people are alluding to online.
Ooh, that's interesting. I had not seen that. First of all, the choice is whether or not he's battling with Son for second. It is not close to him battling for Kane for his role as really the on-pitch leader of this club. Obviously, Hugo in goal, but he can only impact the match so much from back on his line. But I think Bale has to recognize that he isn't the guy. I think even in speaking to Gitto about his role for Wales, even for Wales, he's obviously the name and he draws a lot of the attention, but what he really does is help others by opening up space, by taking that attention both on and off the pitch. It will be interesting. He left as the king of White Hart Lane, air quotes, and very briefly, not long term. And he will be coming back, like I said, as probably the third biggest presence at the club, arguably fourth, if you want to include Hugo, who is the club captain. So we should probably be in that conversation as well. But yeah, I don't think that'll be a particular issue. And if it is an issue, then he needs to show it, right? Like, he spent years at Madrid kind of mocking them for not accepting him as the elite talent that he was. That first year that he had for them was incredible. I think they won the Copa del Rey and Champions League because of him. I think he scored in both the winner and in both. No, the opener in the Copa del Rey and the winner in the Champions League. But I just feel like he was never really accepted there, and he wanted to be one of those star guys. But obviously he was behind Ronaldo, and then he was behind the majority of the Spanish players, at least according to most of their fans. So there might be some of that, of like wanting to be the guy, but I think the same reason why it's so difficult for us to bring strikers, which again, we'll probably talk about later, is that people know that they won't be. So I would hope he has the expectation of, I am not going to come back as the guy. If he's able to prove that he is, that would be incredible, because we all know Kane's tenure at Tottenham might not be as long as we had all hoped if things don't go well this season or next. But yeah, I think he'd have to be at least cognizant of the fact that he isn't going to walk back and be either the first name on the team sheet or the first name on fans' lips outside of like this month. But if he does feel like he should be, then he has every chance to prove it on the pitch. He will get his minutes. And if in that time he somehow proves that not only does he deserve to be on the front line as Kane and Son, but also deserves to be amongst them in terms of presence at the club and profile, then, you know, let him prove it.
Yeah, we'll come on more to Bale a bit later. We'll talk about where he fits in. But I think before we move on to any formations, it's important to bring in the second new signing this week that is set to come in from Real Madrid. It does seem that you're getting something back from that special relationship that you've got down the years of them taking your best players. So that's always a positive. But Sergio Reguilon, a left back who was on loan at Sevilla last season, quite an attacking fullback. I think he got 8 or 9 goal contributions across the two major competitions last year. So similar to Matt Doherty, it does seem that you're going a slightly different way with your fullbacks than you were last season. Do you think this will be a good signing? And are you worried about any potential buyback clause?
This is an incredible signing. I actually brought this up maybe over a month ago, and then tweeted about it maybe 3 weeks ago when the first like whisper of like a Reguilon is being offered to Manchester United, could Tottenham be interested? And then it turns out all the Manchester United links were fake to get us involved. So whoever managed that at Madrid is a genius. But I think it's a perfect signing. The only weird thing about it was that Mourinho has always stated that his idea and the reason why we struggled after Davis went down last season was that Davis was supposed to form a back three and attack with Aurier always bombing forward on the right. And then the purchase of Doherty was to replicate that. By signing somebody like Reguilon, that changes drastically. And I think we saw the first glimpse of that tactically actually in the Europa League match yesterday, where Davis was actually getting forward on the left and it was Højbjerg that was dropping back to form that three when we were in attack. We will have to do that if we sign Reguilon. He is not a defensive left back. He's developing there, but he's definitely better in the attacking spaces, dribbling, crosses, passing, in a way that we really haven't seen in some time. Maybe that one best year of Walker and Rose since we've seen that level of creativity. But I'd argue that Reguilon is even more creative than them, more than Aurier, more effective in those spaces and in those ways. So I think it's an absolutely brilliant signing. If anything, I feel bad for him that he's being lumped back in with Bale. I thought he'd get his own announcement yesterday. We're recording on Friday, so that we could like space out the two. And then Levy and True Levy form was like, if I'm sending a private jet, I'm sending one private jet and you're both getting on it. So I do feel bad for him in that regard. In terms of the buyback clause and the preemptive, whatever the other one is, which is basically after those 2 years, they'll still be able, they can match any offer that we get. I'm really not that worried about it. It's 45 million. If he lives up to the hype and he's 45 million worth of player over the next 2 years, he can go back to Madrid with full blessing. The reason why this is weird is that this was supposed to be Sessegnon's year to develop at left back. Obviously, either that's not going well enough or we weren't as confident in Davis as Mourinho thought he would be last season. So bringing in Reguilon, probably Ming Sessegnon goes out on loan, or if we're planning on playing a back three, obviously Sessegnon and Reguilon way closer in terms of player profile than either of them to Ben Davis, who, you know, with his lack of mobility and creativity is darn near a center back, as he frequently is for Wales. But I think it's an absolutely brilliant signing. He's one of the best young left backs in all of Europe. Obviously, Sevilla winner of the Europa League last season, as Sevilla do so gosh darn always. I actually think it's really weird that Madrid are letting him go. That really bad year, was that 2 years ago, maybe? Three? He was probably their best left back. Marcelo was already on the decline, and I don't think they had brought in Mendy yet. So it's very strange to me that he's even available. Obviously on loan last year, so they were willing to watch him grow some. And if he grows into a £50 million player and then they just recall him, then that's a lot of both value and player that they'd be getting back with that buyback clause. But yeah, in the interim, I'm absolutely delighted for him to be here. And if Sessegnon can grow in those 2 years while he's out, maybe on loan, maybe 1 year out on loan, 1 year back with us, or maybe just stays the whole time. Regardless, we're getting in an option that immediately improves us for the duration that he's here. And if he goes, I don't think I'll be too mad about it, but check back in with me when it happens, because it might be salty as hell if he's as good as I think he can be.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw a few stats in here and plug my own article and Reguilon that's gone up on the EPL Index website in the last 24 hours. So he actually had 2.3 shot creating actions last year per 90 minutes, 0.29 goal creating actions per 90 minutes. And if you compare that to Matt Doherty, slightly fewer goal creating actions, but 2.03 shot creating actions from Matt Doherty. So slightly more creative than Matt Doherty, and he's seen as one of the best attacking fullbacks in the league. So definitely something to go on there. And on Davies, I'm not going to talk about his creativity because that's slightly unfair, but he only played about 1,400 minutes in the Premier League. So there's obviously doubts about his fitness there as well. So, it does seem to make sense. And if it allows Sessegnon to go out on loan, I think it's a good move for everybody. But just moving into how you might set up now, bringing him in, you talked about the slight changes in the Europa League yesterday. But I've always thought with Spurs, if you've got Eric Dier playing, that he suits a back three. And do you think it's not a Mourinho formation, I know that, but do you think there's any sort of chance that could be something that comes into it? Because last weekend, you did look lacking pace at the back. Doherty was sort of out of position quite a lot. They had a lot of joy getting Richarlison in behind. And maybe having a back three with the pace of Sanchez could work if you've got that creativity down both flanks. Do you think that's something that Mourinho might try, or do you think he's gonna just stick to having Højbjerg stay back and form the back three?
Yeah, no, I think it's a really good point. Obviously, as soon as the Bale and Reguilon stuff became real, all of us went to our chalkboards and whiteboards to try to see what lineup would work the best. I do think a back three could work. I think the main issue with a back three, and Dave and I have talked about this on our big season review shows, and I know it's a big point of his, is that you can't just choose to play a back three, right? Because it requires so much improved communication and opens up so many different gaps in the defense when there are three, because now you have channels either side of that middle center back and either side of those outer center backs. So it really requires a high level of concentration. I think the issue for us would be, yes, Davinson is the most mobile and arguably the most talented, but he's also the most prone to a mental lapse. especially off of his back shoulder, which has been his issue since day one. And it's really frustrating that he hasn't worked it out yet. Although apparently Ledley King is basically our defensive coordinator now and is going to try to work on that. But if he was at the far back, maybe we could get away with it, because then if somebody beats him off his shoulder, there's still Dyer and Toby to deal with it. Yeah, I mean, playing with a back three, I think this is where you're coming from, would improve us basically everywhere else on the pitch. I'm just not confident that the back three itself would improve us defensively. But if it allows Doughty and Reguilon to both get forward, if it allows us to play Kane, Son, Bale up front, if it allows us to mix and match in that central midfield depending on context, if it's Lo Celso and Højbjerg, if it's Ndombele and Højbjerg, if you're wanting to play a little bit more defensively, if it's Ali and Lo Celso, if you like really need to bomb forward, it looks like that midfield will be a two. The weird thing with that is we've spent years trying to get the players into play a 4-3-3, and now we have so many central midfielders, especially if you're considering it a three without a traditional number 10 role, because then you have Dele, Lo Celso, and Ndombele, Højbjerg, Winks, Sissoko, and Jedson. That's seven players for two spots if we play a back three and just two in the bank of four. Well, that's a 3-4-3, I suppose. In a 3-5-2, maybe you can get that third one in there, and Højbjerg is the holding one, but then you're having to play either Son or Bale up front with Kane, which I'm sure Kane wouldn't mind somebody else pulling the attention that close to him. But yeah, it definitely opens up a lot of opportunities. And I think the benefit of having Mourinho as opposed to Pochettino is he does believe in tactics more than he believes in a philosophy. With Pochettino, obviously he did try back three briefly when it was so on vogue because Conte did it well. And then everybody was like, I'll do a worse version of that. But yes, I think a back three could potentially happen. I'd personally be worried about the defense, but I do see how it would benefit the rest of the squad, especially if we're planning on building up attacks in the wide spaces, because if you have Reguilon and Son on the left and Doughty and Bale on the right and then Kane just in the middle waiting for all those balls, I think we'd have a pretty successful time of it. Although the get the ball out wide and cross it in style is both not in vogue and can lead to a lot of lost opportunities.
Yeah, it is definitely a good problem to have. And I'm sure with the amount of games Tottenham have, there will be several different formations and collection of players used, so there's probably going to be chances for everybody, but it does open up a bit more flexibility, and that can only be a good thing. Before we move on to any sort of striker discussion, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Dele Alli and his future. He was missing yesterday, wasn't included in the squad, got taken off at half time against Everton for what were tactical reasons, so that doesn't sound good. And he's been linked with a move away. It was talked about in this Real Madrid deal. I don't know how serious that ever got, but it does seem that he could be one that doesn't have the long-term future that you might hope. What are your thoughts on where Dele Alli currently is? And do you think there's any chance he could potentially leave before the end of the window?
Yeah, as you'll know from interacting with me on Twitter, my opinions of Dele Alli vary wildly. I think his talent level is still very high, but he just hasn't become the player that he was supposed to be or that he looked like he would be in that first year. Obviously, if this is the player he is to have risen up through MK Dons and be a regular Premier League starter, that is still a very successful career, and it would be silly to say it's not. But there was a time there where it looked like he was going to be an elite Premier League player, a globally a worldwide talent that everybody really knows about. And maybe they do already, and that's why everybody's so disappointed in what he's become. The issue that I have with Dele Alli at the moment is that he is not a creative passer of the ball. He can beat his man, maybe two, but he tries so much nonsense during matches that just opens up counterattacks that it's really become quite problematic, because him and Lucas both dribble straight into defenses and lose the ball, and you can't have two of them. You can't probably have one of them in a Mourinho team where the point is to be sound at the back, not concede, and then maybe score your one or two goals going forward. So missing Eriksen and saying that Dele Alli is now the main creator, which I know Steve said on the last full EPL roundtable show, was that Dele Alli is supposed to take over that role, but I don't think he can. I think that's Lo Celso who is obviously super dynamic and can basically do any role that you ask of him. But his ability to unpick the lock in those kind of tight spaces, especially against teams that want to defend, I think is so much more valuable than Dele Alli, who's just going to try to beat at least two men to try to open up a shot. Obviously, at his best, he scores goals. He sets up assists by getting deep into the box and then cutting it back. But he isn't really going to pick that pass out from distance, which is something that we're going to need this season. And it's something that we saw against Everton, was nobody was able to make that pass until Ndombele came on and did it twice in his first 5 minutes and then not again the rest of the match. But I am unsurprised that we are hearing links about Dele Alli going away. I think Mourinho came in and thought that he could turn him into the world-class player that he's flashed at times. And I don't think he's taken enough steps in that direction. We heard all preseason how great Dele Alli was training, but then you turn on the match on Sunday and where is it? It's going to be a weird one. I think Dele Alli could actually really thrive once Bale comes in, because we were talking about how the defense will have to respect Son, Kane, and Bale on the front line. All of a sudden, if the defense is all worried about those three, then you have Dele Alli nipping in and out of the spaces behind those three. Maybe Lo Celso's the distributing one, and Dele Alli just charges whatever channel is open. It could work. If somebody offered me $50 million, though, I'm not sure I would reject it at this point. There's every chance that wherever he goes next, he would actually blow up. If he was included in the Madrid deal, you put him in that Madrid team with a fading Barcelona and Atletico that seemed to have lost their way, I'm sure he would have won titles and looked like a superstar again. But as for us, you consider all of that and the fact, like what I just said, there might only be two central midfield spots if we played a back three. Even if there's three, it's still competition between those seven players. If he locks down a starting role, it's because he's earned it and because I think he'll have a good season. But if you don't see him much and he leaves on October 4th, I don't think I'd be necessarily shocked by that either.
Yeah, we'll move on to the search for a striker, which seems to have been ongoing for about 5 years now. There was some varying success. I think Fernando Llorente did quite well in it. But I think with Kane's injuries now, you need someone who offers a little bit more than Llorente, somebody that can come in and can carry that goal threat over an 8 or 9 game stretch that you might have to, because we always say if Kane gets injured, but I'm sure these strikers that get approached think he is going to get injured at some point, so they will get a chance. In the last few days, we've seen Belotti from Torino linked. We've seen Milik linked, although he seems to be going elsewhere. Danny Ings was linked yesterday in the English press, and Diallo seems to be one that keeps getting linked as well in France. This morning another link come out saying that he is the backup option for Spurs, so it does seem like there's a deal there to do, but they're not going ahead with it until they've exhausted all other options, which won't make him feel great, but that seems to be where they're at. How do you see this playing out, and could you see maybe a Danny Ings coming in, or do you think it will be more a Diallo type?
For our homegrown rules, it would be great if it was Danny Ings. Also, this is just nonsense speculation that literally no one else has said thus far. I do wonder if we're like silently interested in Rian Brewster, if he was available, because we keep seeing him linked with Sheffield United and Crystal Palace. And I'm just like, he fixes the homegrown issue, is young enough that he wouldn't have an issue playing alongside or behind Kane, one wouldn't think. Also, I don't know why Liverpool aren't keeping him. He's their second best striker, and Firmino is barely a striker. Fantastic player, just, you know, not a traditional nine. Yes, we've been linked to basically everyone. In terms of Ings, apparently Southampton have been very clear that they aren't selling, especially this late in the window, and of course not. As I was saying yesterday on Twitter, it doesn't make sense for the player, because Danny Ings is trying to get an England spot. He'd go to Tottenham and play mostly behind Kane and lose that minutes in that kind of prime spot he has for Southampton. Southampton are losing one of their best players and their best striker with just 2 weeks left in the window. And we'd be paying Ings at the highest point of his value his entire career, which doesn't feel particularly Tottenham to do. So I think that's a very strange one. I fully believe that Mourinho's like, it's supposed to be Danny Ings, the same way he was like, it has to be Højbjerg over all of the other good defensive midfield options we were looking at. But no, I don't see Ings happening. And I'm not even sure I would want it to happen. We have injury issues all across the pitch. You're like, let's bring in another one with a shoddy injury history. That doesn't seem to be very wise. As you said, we've been linked with a gajillion players. Two that you missed on the recency front are Carlos Fernandez and Wout Weghorst. who's obviously playing his trade in Bundesliga, and only Lewandowski has had more shots on target and more goals the last two seasons. So I've already seen people be like, why would we want Weghorst? He's just another Janssen. And I'm like, shush, shush, shush. You clearly do not know what you're talking about. But yes, it seems like we will have to spend another international slot on a striker, which means we're going to have to let another person go. And I will say, it sounds like we are trying to get in another striker, where briefly, I thought we were trying to do with Bale this window what we did with Bergwijn last, which is if you get enough wingers in, Son can be a forward. Because Bale could play on the right, Bergwijn on the left, Son up front if Kane gets injured. But it seems like we do want an actual striker. Obviously sent Troy Parrott out on loan, so just the one recognized striker in Harry Kane. So yes, we're definitely interested. It sounds like we're probably in the 20 to 25 million range for an actual striker, which eliminates the majority of names that you've probably heard linked to us. Like you said, Milik seems set for Roma. Belotti sounds like he wants to stay at Torino, which really isn't surprising. Italian players do not often leave Serie A for whatever reason. The one that I'm really interested in is Carlos Vinicius? Who knows? But anyway, is really, really good in Portugal. And apparently our main center back target is Ruben Dias, as the Mourinho and Mendes influence starts to take deeper root in the club. I think both of them would be absolutely fantastic. But as you said, it's probably still Diallo, who we allegedly had agreed terms with in January before we decided to switch and get Bergwijn, who was a ridiculous value at the time, especially mid-season for a team that was still doing well in the Eredivisie. But yeah, very, very, very excited to see us try to bring in a striker. I think the interesting thing is it will be such a letdown. Whoever we sign after Bale is just gonna be like, it's a striker, which, as you said, is something we've needed for so many years. Basically since Soldado flopped, we've needed a striker. No striker we've brought in has been super successful. Yes, Llorente had the Champions League goal and the assist for Lucas's goal against Ajax, but he did not lead the line well for us. He was a good option off the bench to just come lump up forward and cause havoc in the defensive areas for defenders. But I think we lost to Chelsea with him leading the line in the League Cup. And I don't think his scoring record was particularly good. And I think we even opted to play Son up front over him during a stretch of that Kane injury. What was that? 2 years ago now? Anyway, I'm rambling a bit here, but yes, I think we will sign another striker. It's probably going to be somewhere between 20 and 25 million pounds, which limits us. If we can get Diallo, he might even be less than 20 at this point, but I would absolutely love like a Weghorst or a Carlos Vinicius. But as you said, it looks like a Milik and Belotti are no's, and the one that I would have really loved, Patson Daka, is like, I'm 20 and need to develop more, which is fair enough, I suppose. But I would think that we have another striker in by the end of the window.
Yeah, I think Tottenham have really missed out on the Olivier Giroud London roundabout, because he would have been the perfect second choice to
Kane. January, but, as well, yeah.
Yeah, it's one that they've missed out on, but it's difficult. Him starting at Arsenal, it's politically a difficult one to get to Tottenham, so they've missed out there. But sounds positive on those fronts. Before we wrap up, I'll have one final question on just the general direction Tottenham are going in at the moment, because under Pochettino, there's a genuine sort of philosophy, and they were targeting young players to improve. Now it seems to be a win-now strategy, bringing in Mourinho, and now Bale. It's a little long-term planning there. And with the move to the new stadium and the Amazon documentary, it does seem like Levy wants Tottenham to be a massive club and in the main headlines, as opposed to sort of being one of the secondary big clubs in England. Do you think this is going to continue, or do you think that this is very much a short-term thing for now, and then you'll get back to maybe the form of philosophy under a younger head coach in the next couple of years?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I think we're definitely at the end of the previous cycle. So we have obviously Kane and Son and Toby and Hugo all in their primes. And I think rather than just sell them on, which obviously could have happened, Toby could have left on a free, people could have tried to come in for Kane and Son. I think the choice was, we'll forego the young signings. Obviously, Reguilon and Bergwijn still both young. Højbjerg young as well. Doherty not. Bale not. Some of the striker options not as well. But yes, I think we're just trying to wring out the last bits of magic from the Pochettino team. by supplementing the established players at Tottenham with established players from other clubs. I saw somewhere we either have 5 or 6 national team captains at Tottenham now, which is the most in Europe. I think that was very much a choice by Mourinho to try to strengthen, try to bring in people with leadership qualities. If anybody's seen the Amazon documentary, try to replace that nice guy mentality that we have. But yes, this very much feels short term. I don't think Mourinho will be here more than 3 years. And around then is like when Reguilón could go back to his club. It's when, you know, Bale's contract runs out, even if we do take up his option. It's probably when Kane goes. It might be when Son goes, who I have no idea why Madrid have yet to sniff around Son. I just think that would make so much sense, both from a marketing angle and from an on-pitch angle. But yeah, I think this is very short term. Whether or not we'll ever like fully return to the Pochettino, buy young players, develop them, get the most out of them, and then sell them at a high price thing, I don't know if we will ever find the level of success sticking to that philosophy that we did with Pochettino. He overachieved so heavily because of how good a manager he was, because of his relationship with the players, the ownership, the fans. I don't know if that will work again. I fully believe that we will try it again after this Mourinho period, but I do not see it working out the same way ever again.
Yeah, it does seem to be an interesting point in the Tottenham story under Daniel Levy, but it's certainly an interesting one to follow. And Bale's going to bring more headlines, and yeah, Tottenham are going to be an interesting club for everybody to follow.
Off the pitch. Yeah, exactly. Off the pitch, we are absolutely massive right now. But the issue is that we have our highest profile, at least since I've been following. But what's on the pitch is super not living up to that. I do think that's one of the reasons why we've like gone out and tried to get this flash signing in Bale. Although, what a shame that there won't be fans there to give him his Bale chance after all those years of being booed in Madrid. But the profile is huge. Now it's time for the play to actually live up to a $1 billion stadium, the most expensive training ground in the country, the most expensive manager in the country. Like, at a certain point, you got to do it. And as you said, it is an interesting chapter for Levy. I think he is all in. He sinks or swims with what Mourinho is about to do. That's why we're spending all the money that we are. Clever dealings. The fact that we aren't going to pay more than $15 million total for Bale's loan. The fact that Reguilón, we're buying for like 25-ish, but the buyback clause is 45. Like, we're still doing smart business. Doherty for 12 to 15. Højbjerg basically for Walker Peters and 3. Like, we're actually being really, really smart this window, but we're also spending a lot, and we're spending a lot on wages this year, which is something we were obviously known to hesitate on in the past. So yes, you're absolutely right. The profile is huge right now, but you know, it'd be nice if the play reflected that, and hopefully it will with these new signings.
Yeah, it won't start against Southampton because I doubt either will play, but it will start in the next few weeks. So we will see how that goes. But we are now out of time for today. I'm sure Kev will be back on the main show and talking more Bale as more information comes out. But you can get him on Twitter at Kevrov. You can get me on Twitter at Jake Jack with 2 N's. And you can get the show on Twitter at EPL Roundtable. But thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again next time.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.